At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
It's 7:45. Ronan O'Gara, good morning to you.
Hey, Adrian, how are you? Sorry.
Good. How are you keeping?
I'm very well. Yeah, not too bad. Sun is shining and have a derby tomorrow against Bordeaux. So it's getting into the great games of the season. So 7 left in top 14. And obviously we're going to Gloucester next weekend in the European Cup. So we had the last 2 weekends off to... after probably 6 months on the go non-stop. So be interesting to see where we are. But we're excited by what's ahead.
Yeah, it's really intriguing couple of weeks. Are you sort of a business as usual coach when you're going about the place, knowing how key these games are? Like even the Bordeaux game, they're pushing you hard. Gloucester not far on the heels of that. Potentially another big game after that. Are you
business as usual guy? Yeah, you have to be because it's this is when you hopefully get benefit from the squad that you've cultivated throughout the season, you know. So you're going to need everyone. You can't rely on 15 people, you can't rely on 23 people. So you hope that message has been strong, because if you only start saying that this week, it's not going to be effective. So you're trying to drive that from last July, but you need everybody, and if you have a contract in this club, you're important. But that wouldn't be the culture in the past. Sometimes a lot of guys were put in the free goal, as they call it, into the freezer, and if they were falling out with the coach. But I suppose one of the big learnings I took from the Crusaders was you had guys who played 3-4 times a year and their contribution was immense, and they would have been starters in any other club in New Zealand, but they wanted to stay in the Crusaders with the thought of contributing, I suppose, to a worthwhile project. So we're nowhere near that, obviously, in La Rochelle, but you can dream of stuff like that, and you can try and make it like that. So that's the goal.
Yeah, you're not like a Paddy O'Shea, I arrive with the swallow.
No, I don't know where to even comment on that, because I don't I admire Paddy O'Shea, an absolute legend and a beautiful player to carry he's from, and the man was driven and he was a special man, but on his coaching technique I need to read up.
Yeah, he used to talk about when the championship arrived that there was a cut in the grass, the turf was a bit harder, and the players would know that and his players speak about it regularly, that they knew he wasn't that dialed in for the league, but once the championship came around, he was there. But it very much sounds like that is not their own Ronan style.
When everything moves on, it's a different game, it's a different era. It's a different mindset, but it's like, if I take a bit of the O'Shea's with me, I'll be doing okay, you know. They were
incredibly
talented.
Come here, we've had a few days to digest, obviously, not quite the end of the Six Nations, but the end of Ireland's interest in it anyway. And I was left with a big feeling that it was a shame almost there wasn't a game this weekend, so we could see how real last weekend was. But in the absence of that, I better ask you, can we say we've turned a corner now on the basis of what we saw last weekend, or is it too simplistic a view?
No, I think you can. You need to say that. There's a very positive feeling about Irish rugby again. I think it was such a comprehensive performance, and obviously victory over, you can't say England are a poor team. They played poorly, but they're not a poor team. Ireland would be very, very happy, and it leaves a great taste in everybody's mouth. And it's the same as anything, especially sport, it gets exaggerated even more. You'll be remembered by your last game, and this team has a long break before its next game. It's potentially 7 months. before this team could play against another team if the summer tour doesn't go ahead, which is looking highly unlikely, obviously. So I think that will give them a lot of confidence and a lot of motivation to work towards, a better championship and a better November next year, because, the red card had a big impact in the first game, and they probably would be disappointed that they watched France for a little bit at the start and gave them too much of a lead, while if they had a little bit more self-belief, I think they probably would have won that game. So it is very small margins at test level, but, I think watching from afar, for me, I could see, and reading different players' articles and watching it from afar, you could see that there was a very good buzz about Andy Farrell from the players. And I think that connection is very, very important going forward, because it is a different era now where players nearly do prefer a collaborative approach as opposed to a dictator shouting down at them. And I'm not saying that was the case under George Smith, far from it. I think we've got to recognise how good he was. But it still needs to be probably a combination of the new approach and what George did to get a performance at a World Cup.
The sense a couple of years ago, Ronan, was that maybe the rising tide had lifted all boats, that it felt like Ireland came good in 2018, not long after Munster and Leinster had started to go well themselves. Is that your expectation now over the next little while? Obviously, a few very important weeks for the Irish provinces.
There's a nice early morning reference to Irish poetry this morning. I like it between the two of you. You're going very well, boys. it's nice to start with that when I'm away. Owen, sorry, say that again to me.
It just felt a few years ago there was a connection between the national team doing well and the provincial team doing well, like they went hand in hand, that this level all came up together. Do you expect the same thing to happen now over these next few weeks in particular?
I think first of all, you've some very good players. I think you've some very, consider it really, it's the one, country with the exception of probably New Zealand, you saw a few teams feeding the national team. So, like, in that regard, when they go back to Europe, it's a standard lower. It's an easier standard, yet a lot of these guys are very comfortable at the test level, so they'd be more comfortable at Heineken Cup level, Champions Cup level. So, Irish rugby has been very, very consistent for a long time, and they have, with the glaring exception of World Cups, that's where we've been incredibly inconsistent. But in terms of European Cups, in terms of Champions Cups, and in terms of Six Nations, Ireland have been very performing for a long, long time, I would think. And you would expect the provinces to have a big say in Europe. There's absolutely no doubt about it, because, when Saracen's gone, Leinster are probably the number one team. And, I think Munster's timing with Carberry coming back, and a big game, obviously, tomorrow, is it? Tomorrow. Yeah. So that's perfect prep for French opposition for the both provinces.
It's come up, so 10 years, obviously, since Munster's last trophy. Is it changing this weekend?
Is a change in this weekend? You can't answer, because Leinster are such a good team. And that's the reality. I think where other teams will get energy, motivation, see opportunity, will be watching the Ospreys game last weekend. I think you've got to try and stay in the fight for as long as you can against Leinster. If they go between 7 and 10 points ahead, it's so hard to get them back, because I think they're very, very good at all kinds of rugby, especially unstructured play. But I think opposition teams will like what the Ospreys did, and they'll have a plan to probably go at Leinster where they feel they may be vulnerable. It's very hard to pick holes in a Leinster team that is, essentially an Irish team. Because at stages a month or two ago, 13 of them were starting in a green jersey. So, they have the class, they have the form. But The great thing about Munster is that I feel they've been coming, and tomorrow night is an opportunity to probably. It will be difficult in the RDS because obviously there's no crowds, but it's still Leinster's patch, and they'd know the pitch a little bit better than Munster would. But you know, I think Munster feel to be embracing the week, and they feel to be approaching it with a lot of excitement, as opposed to we have to get this monkey off our back of stopping about not having silverware.
Mm. Doesn't feel like there's very much between them, and I appreciate that. Probably from your vantage point, you might not be seeing as much maybe of either team as you might watch in that you might want in that sort of in depth level. But the styles of them, are they as close now as they've ever been in terms of the style of rugby that both of them are playing?
No, I would say Leinster are probably I would think a little bit further down the road in terms of where their game is. I think Munster under Larkham have been very exciting to watch in the last number of months, but he's only been there for a season, so it would still be new because you're shifting a lot of first of all you mean shift your convictions of how you traditionally play the game. You mean the kick into the corner, which probably was number one formula in my time. The game has moved on since then. So they have to play more ball in hand, but you can see that the forwards and the front five in particular are getting very comfortable with the ball in their hands, and they're also getting better at playing a phase game. Munster, I think they'd always have a good, strong maul game and a kicking game, but now you can see there's some lovely wrinkles coming into their attack, and with Carberry coming back into it, he's a fantastic footballer. That gives them, I suppose, a lot of X factor, which a lot of teams need. And if you're probably to analyse the Six Nations, one of the key takeaways for me is the fact that, you know, we're looking at teams for a long number of weeks, months, years, even in regard to England. But, you know, how do you analyse the England team who went to, I forget the ground, and I was in the ground for the semi-final against New Zealand. And they play like that to an England team that played in Dublin last weekend with a lot of similar personnel. Not completely the same, but the skeleton of their team the same. It's very interesting for me that you mean, yes, reputation, yes, form, but there's probably an interesting new dynamic coming into it now. It's kind of who gets momentum for 80 minutes and who can keep it for not even 80 minutes, because ball and play is max 40 minutes. So if you can control the ball for that little bit longer, you're in a good position. But then that's thrown on its head completely by you watch the Crusaders and you watch Mwanga, and those boys aren't too bothered about having the ball. They just kind of, when they get it, they're just so deadly with it that they just make half chances into 7 points. So trying to work out what's the best approach to go.
Have you come up with a hypothesis almost for that England's inconsistency? I think they're a really good case in point almost of going from that level of almost winning the World Cup and beating New Zealand to the level that we saw maybe last weekend.
I think a lot of it has to be, I'd say, well, it has to be tactical. It has to be trying out experimentation period and the periodization of a World Cup cycle. Because I would struggle to, after watching the review of the game again, that the English guys are playing on instinct, are playing on feel, are playing on what they see, are playing on what they feel is best in this moment. I think that's where they were so good in the World Cup. But a lot of data has come out, and I'm not privy to it because it's, you know what I mean, when you're a club coach, you're kind of wondering sometimes what's going on at the test level and why are they, I suppose, so, what's the word, encapsulated or engrossed with statistical data. But it seems to be that the team who kicked them most were winning games. But maybe there's a big asterisk there about kicking, yeah, but with accuracy. Mm. Because I don't think kicking for me, stacks up with, because, like, with, for example, if you kicked Colby, you're going to be behind your post, you know, and there's a, you know, Colby's obviously probably an exception, but there's an awful lot of good counter-attackers in the European game, you know what I mean, Liam Williams or Hogg as well. So I just would be interested in getting my hands on those thesis or hypothesis, as you said, Owen, yeah.
Looking at the game this weekend, you're going to give me now some sort of an answer about depending on what sort of style they're playing or what players are around them. So let's hypothetically say
it's a fine line. I think you do whatever it takes for 80 minutes. That's my mentality on the final. I don't think style comes into it at all.
Important. In terms of the combinations, right? Because I think, like, I know you probably said that maybe Leinster are a little bit further down the road in terms of their style. When you break it down, and we don't know what teams are going to play just yet, but if it goes with the likely teams, the combinations are fascinating. But the one to ask you about, obviously, if it's Carberry and Murray versus Sexton and Gibson Park, for example, and there might be some slight differences in that, if you were to have to pick a combination to win, let's say it was a Lions test tomorrow, which combination would it be?
It would be Murray Sexton.
Of Carberry and Murray, or Sexton and Gibson Park?
Yeah, it would be Murray and Sexton.
But if you couldn't,
you could only have a partnership, is it?
Exactly, either the Munster partnership or the Leinster one. Not making it that easy for you.
Yeah. But sure, you're not. Why, you can't make up laws that aren't in place.
I've made up a very hypothetical scenario.
You can pick Murray and you can pick Sexton for the Lions. So what's your
problem? I'm aware that you're going to start talking to me about systems and one doesn't fit the other. So I want to nail you to an answer.
No, you're not getting an answer later in enough because it's a nonsense question. You can't. Four of them can go on the Lions. So.
Who's got the better halfbacks, Munster or Leinster?
But you know, it's Sexton coming up against Carb. It doesn't work like that.
Mm.
Yeah. Sexton is running the show for his team, and Carberry's running the show for Munster. Like, so you're so dependent on your front five. If you're pack in front of you, never mind the back row. If the front five are winning collisions and you're a meter ahead on the gain line, it gives you an extra second on the ball, which gives you an extra second to pick space, gives you an extra second to execute a better pass or a kick. It's as simple as that. Like, it's, and I know from the front five I had Munster, it's so much of your game is dependent on these guys, be it a scrum. Can you get a right shoulder angle up to launch a playoff, your line out drive? Can you squeeze energy out of the team there? There are so many games within games, and especially tomorrow night, it'll be fascinating to watch, I suppose, the tactical approach of both teams. But I probably thought the same for Ireland England, but I didn't see a tactical approach from England bar kick it. I think there's more to that story, and you'd love to be a fly in the wall in their prep meetings.
Yeah, for more reasons than one, I'm sure, particularly in the aftermath of that. Talking about the halfbacks at Munster, the big story over the last 24 hours that JJ Hanrahan is getting a great move. He was offered a new contract, it seems, anyway. Hasn't been confirmed at Munster, but he's signing for Claremont, a 2-year deal. Team pushing near the top end of the top 14. Good business for everyone?
Yeah, it's a fantastic opportunity. JJ is a great guy. He's a deep thinker on the game. I think he still has unfinished business in himself. He's very, very creative, and he's very, very diligent. He's a hard worker. He's huge into process, and he really, really wants it to excel for Munster and for Ireland. It hasn't happened at the highest level for him yet. But this, you know what I mean? I think he's only 28. In 2 years' time, he'd be 30. He'd be playing his best rugby between now and 32. There's huge opportunity for him. Huge opportunity for him. You'd be delighted for him because, you know, he cares about it. He really wants to deliver, but sometimes he's been paralyzed by analysis, by overthinking. He has great instincts in him, and he needs to play and trust that. And sometimes he potentially overcomplicates it in that position, but it isn't easy. And it was a time when he was driving that team when they were probably a little bit lower in confidence in areas than when I was there, and it was easier. But I was full sure in 2013 when I retired, I can remember doing my final kicking session with him, that this guy was going to take over and he's going to be a star. And I hope it's been frustrating for him so far, but this could open his horizons on all fronts.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure your mate Jack Crowley and Ben Healy as well have been rubbing their hands over the last couple of days, thinking it's a big, big chance for them as well.
They're not my mates anymore.
No, that's right. They're gone. Scratch.
Yeah,
best
exactly.
Luck, best luck
they're
over the next 10 days.
They're back into the free goal.
Good luck over the next 10 days, Robert.
See ya. Thanks, lads. Good to chat. Cheers.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.